The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And we're back with an all new Keep It. This is Ira Madison III.
I'm Louis Fertel. Did you miss me? My God, I'm back. Please take me back.
Nobody missed you.
Okay.
You were in last week's episode.
Oh, yeah, I did the interview, but it was the commentary you really missed from me, I hope. So anyway, I'm about to give it.
You also turned 35 last week.
Woo!
So happy birthday to you.
Thank you. My main cultural association with 35 is that's how old Stu on Rugrats was. He would say, I'm 35 years old. And he always looked haggard and purple-haired. And so now I think of myself the same way.
Well, speaking of Rugrats, the youth portion of Keep It is not here this week, but we do have Sydney Washington.
Yes.
Don't do that. I'm young. I'm giving you adolescent. I'm giving you euphoria face. Don't do that.
But are you giving me Aida, cast of the new Gossip Girl?
Yes, right.
No.
She is young.
No. But
I did not say you weren't still fine, Sydney, okay? Weren't still giving the glow.
Do I need to get closer into the camera so you can see? Poreless.
It's pretty sleek. I'll confirm it here. I'm on the Zoom. I know the listeners aren't, but yeah. I'm looking at a fine surface.
I don't know who I was talking to this past weekend, but they were asking me about you, and I was like, let me tell you, Sydney Washington is top five most beautiful women in person.
Well, you know, Ira, I went to your birthday and I had to show up and show out. I really did.
The first one.
There are so many birthdays, Ira. You are, I knew you were very important into for the community, but wow, you really dragged it out, hon.
The fucking P.T. Barnum of birthdays here. Throwing on a top hat and inviting the fools over.
You know, I just think that it was important to document Leo season this year. I think all the girls feel the same. We're going to talk about Mr. Obama later. He felt the same.
Right.
You know, let us have our parties.
You're right.
Is my opinion.
Sometimes I forget that he is a definitive Leo. I mean, obviously, Madonna is the only reason the Zodiac might be the truth. Like, she's the actual super Leo. But Obama, definitive in a way.
But I feel like he's a little humble. The Leos, they're very out and proud and loud about it. I think Obama, you don't know he's a Leo until his birthday actually comes up.
My thing with him, though, is I just think he's sly about being a Leo. Meanwhile, he's like, should I put out a list of my 150 favorite songs for you all to download immediately? Like, that seems like Leo eat me up behavior.
I mean, you thought he was doing A&R at the White House the way he would constantly have, you know, like somebody popping in, Beyonce, Jay-Z, John Legend. You know, that was the behavior.
Mm-hmm, right.
Also, the sly and humble, but his ass ran for president, Sydney.
All right.
He was like, it's going to be me.
But it's a selfless thing. You're doing it for the people. It's
true.
An exhausting job.
He ran against a Clinton, okay? You know, they were all like, oh, it's a rap, baby. And he was like, nah, you know what? I think I got it.
Okay. Very Leo of him. You're right.
Very Leo behavior. But we're going to talk about Obama's birthday party. We're going to talk about Andrew Cuomo this week.
I hate when we get into this kind of Keep It, where it's just like, well, someone was horrible again and again, and now here come comments. Yeah.
We're going to talk about people who don't know how to fly on airplanes.
Oh, my favorite.
This week. We got all the hot topics coming up. Plus, as a person who is part of the Selena Hive, it upsets me to have to be mad at Selena Gomez this week, but we're going to do that too.
All right.
So we'll be right back with more Keep It. No off years. 2022 is around the corner, and in order to win elections in the face of GOP power grabs, we're going to have to dig deeper and work harder than ever before, and that work needs to start early, especially since the government would like us to just, you know, figure it out and kumbaya our ways into voting to stop the GOP. So, Vote Save America's brand new No Off Years program will support the groups and organizers laying the groundwork in key states through remote volunteer opportunities, targeted donations, and education on what's at stake in upcoming elections. Please sign up today at votesaveamerica.com/no-off-years. As I said, one of the many things I have in common with former President Obama is we both throw great birthday parties, and we both threw them last weekend.
Okay. Well, your birthdays are around the same time. Okay, go on.
My party did not get dragged, so.
I see.
Yes. Like his for being a super spreader event. Although, this is the thing that's making me upset lately, and we could talk about whether or not he should have been throwing this big-ass party, you know, on 20 acres with all these damn guests, knowing that he is the former president and knowing that the Republicans are thirsty for any sorts of drama right now. But I want to get into the thing that everybody on the internet now wants to be mad at anybody again for doing anything in public.
Oh, a la gays over COVID?
Yeah, as if we're not vaccinated. Right, I mean, the whole point of last year was telling people we don't have a vaccine, you got to be safe. And now that we have it, I feel like some of the girls are still just into the whole don't go anywhere.
The tea is that we all are not vaccinated. Everybody on the call is vaccinated, but not everybody's vaccinated. And that's why we got Miss Delta running around rampant, gallivanting and whatnot. So I understand that people like shaking their fingers like, you shouldn't have like 400 people in a space. But like, let's not do that and have Lollapalooza go on at the same time. Like, pick and choose. Either we shut down the festivals and make sure people can't do concerts and whatnot, or we let people have their parties and keep it moving.
Right. Because I think there was even someone in my DMs who was sort of like, I guess COVID's over in LA. My birthday party, which had very, very less people than like Obama's birthday party. And it also, it's like, baby, my friends are vaccinated. I don't hang out with the unvaccinated masses who are keeping America hostage.
Or so you think. A part of me always wonders if, like, if I did a little extra digging in my, like, maybe not inner circle of friends, but, like, the orbit beyond that. Like, maybe there's one or two, like, I heard one time that needles turn you into a space creature, you know, conspiracist lingering. There must be, right? Since
that is fair.
The percentages don't seem to indicate that we're all doing it.
That's fair. You think we got some people lying in our friend groups?
Yeah, I mean, people lie about how many people they've had sex with. They lie about if they're sober or not. They lie on their taxes. Like, everybody's lying. There's so many people who are lying about the smallest things. Why would they not lie about being vaccinated? Especially since we are dragging these people like every day on the hour of the hour.
Right, right.
That's fair. I will say that a friend of mine, I'm not going to expose him,
ooh,
a girl he's seeing, she is vaccinated, but he, and I had met this girl and we were kikiing, but he told me, oh yeah, like she was sort of like not wanting to get the vaccine at first, but she had to get it because of her job. But I'm like, you were just hanging out with this girl who like didn't want to get a vaccine?
Right.
What's good?
Okay, hold on. Well, let me be really transparent. I know that I'm new to this, but for the people who think that I'm, you know, holier than thou.
Don't nobody think that.
Moving right along.
We see you try to cook on the internet.
We're not talking about that. We're on Keep It right now. We're not talking about Sick Kick. Anywho, I thought I was one of those people. I was one of those people that were lingering and taking a long time to get the vaccine. You know, obviously history, we've read it. We know about it, that I had a lot of things that I was apprehensive about. But at the same time, like, you know, I've done random drugs in Westchester. Like, it's like, do I really care what's in my body? I don't. Take the fucking vaccine. And Solomon Giorgio had to, like, his sister died and he, like, got on me. He was like, just because I'm grieving doesn't mean I'm not going to go off on you for not being vaccinated. He's like, you need to make an appointment right now on the phone with me. And I did. And I got it. So it took me some time, but I did it.
I love that.
Solomon, he's one of the great comics. I routinely find myself at the same house party as him and, like, whatever, something, who will come up? Angela Bassett or something. And then I lose 90 minutes of my life talking about her. So
yes,
it's a good, good
time. He's a caretaker.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He is a caretaker. I love Solomon. And I'm glad he got you vaccinated.
Yeah, he said he wouldn't speak to me if I didn't. So
good. I like that. We need more like threats in a friendly way. Like, you know, oh, I'm good friends with you. I'm going to take that away if you don't do this thing anyway.
Mm-hmm. But it's got to be someone like Solomon, right?
Who seems wise. Yeah.
Well, there's a few people that are like, you know, if you don't do this certain thing, I'm not going to talk to you again. I'd be like, you know what? I have been waiting for this moment. Goodbye.
Yeah, you have to have a strong read on the friendship and the dynamic in order for this to work, I think.
The wildest thing about the birthday party for me, though, is that everyone who kept uploading Instagrams, like Erykah Badu and like her and other people, they all ended up deleting them because they were told not to upload anything from the party. And so my thing is, Obama got these people on lock.
Yeah.
Because I want to say, if Beyonce was throwing a party, as she often does, and said, no social media, there will not be any social media leaking from that party. Why were there leaks from the former president's party if he said, don't upload anything?
These people are cocky. Her is like 24 years old, and she's defying Obama. I mean, like, that's some nerve. This Oscar has got her cocky.
No, I mean, this is a flex. You know, you're at Obama's birthday party. He's not president anymore, so he's going off. You know, there's shit that the normal birthday when he was in office was happening. He's, like, doing extra now. So I'm sure people got a little, you know, overzealous about it. But do people not have fenstas? We know that they have fenstas. It's like, you have to give something for the fenster. You can't be posting on Main like that.
Right.
So here's my question about you, because you still have one. I don't have a fence anymore. I got tired of it. I thought it was too much work.
Ira, I didn't even notice.
Yes, I know. I think mine is gone because I just feel like it was too much work, like updating the fenster. I'm like, girl, I'm just going to not tell people shit. That's just what it is now. So some stuff you just won't get anymore. And the only thing I would put on my fence to anyway is the person I'm dating now. And, you know, I feel like people are tired of hearing that.
I know, but like fences are so juicy, and the people who are a part of it, that you make them feel a little bit special, like more special than maybe what they really are. So I don't know. I like my fence to community, and you need to have something separate from the Main. People don't need to know every party you're at. They shouldn't, unless you are doing it for clout.
I know. I feel the same. Like, my boss doesn't need to know that I'm out right now, even if it's like a completely benign party. Like, it's just it's a really bizarre instinct to me to have to broadcast things like that to everyone. Anyway, I now sound like some hardened Gen X member or something. But this guest list, by the way, it does feel like Obama was asking for leaks. I mean, like, if you invite Erykah Badu, Erykah Badu has like a slick sense of humor. I mean, like, she'll raise an eyebrow and say something devastating out the side of her mouth, that kind of thing. So I think she would naturally post things from a party like this.
No, she doesn't really post a lot. I follow her. It's all about her music. It's all about her daughters, like things of that sort. But she's not really out and about just being like, hey, I'm at the Waffle House, like random stuff like that. She's not doing that.
So maybe this was like the moment to get her to be like, you know what, let me do a little post. Let me show up at this party. I tell you who didn't post nothing was Miss Chrissy Teigen. Because
No, she's been posting. She's like trying to
get back. Is she back?
She's trying to get back in. She needs social media. It's clear that she is desperate for engagement. She needs it, wants it.
Okay, so we've been told by our producer that Chrissy posted photos from outside the party.
Ooh.
Girl. That is exactly like what you mean.
Okay, I like that. She's on the rim of the party, so you can't really fault her. Yeah.
She's like, here's my outfit for a party I'm going to. You don't know where I'm going. But that's something that someone who is desperate for the engagement would post. They want you asking questions. They want you digging.
She needs it. She, even though she's like, I know that I'm canceled, but look, I'm at the part, like I'm still getting invited. So you too can invite me to your things.
I think that like her cancellation is a state of her mind. Yes, she lost some things, but no one in her life is like not hanging out with her because of this. You know, it's not like she's Andrew Cuomo. So I feel like if she just decided like I'm back and started doing shit, who cares? Lena Dunham out here everywhere.
Chrissy Teigen was kind of like seen as, oh my God, she's so sweet. She's so funny. She's amazing. And now she was looked at as like, no, she's a villain too. She's done some dumb shit. And sometimes I think she posts things or tweets things and she makes herself like holier than thou. And, you know, we got to see the truth that, hey, you make mistakes as well. So I think it's not really about being canceled. It's just like, hey, girl, you just like us. I don't care if your husband is John Legend.
I'll repress my Rosie O'Donnell, Queen of Nice defense monologue.
I mean, she really just sort of got exposed like the girl at high school who you always think, you know, in the movie or something is sweet. Then it turns out like she's actually the mean girl. But there are plenty of like 80s and 90s and 2000 movies for her to watch to see how to rehabilitate herself.
Right. The literature is there.
Just be the funny bitch.
Right. Getting funny.
Now that people know you're mean, be funny and mean.
Because she is one of the ultimate like quote tweeters, right? Like you throw, like, I don't know, Tucker Carlson says something stupid and then she jumps on it with like a lowercase rejoinder and then we love her again. So you're right. It just seems easy.
But I think some of her jokes hit because she was likable. So when you're no longer liked, they're critiquing your jokes a lot harder.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah, you know, hot people who are not funny, I'll give a little laugh.
Well, I'm triggered. I'm triggered on the call because, you know, I identify as hot. So whenever you talk about my community.
I said hot people who aren't funny, Sydney. You know, are hot and funny. It is very unfortunate that you have that you are a triple threat.
Whenever I hear it, I have my eyes, my eyebrow goes up like, who are you talking about? Because all my friends are hot and funny.
Oh my God, that reminds me. You know who Bruce Vilanch is? Like the gay comic with the glasses and the funny t-shirts. Anyway, he used to like write the Academy Awards. He will always be posting on like hot guys Instagram when they post like a caption under their shirtless selfie that says something like hi gay or whatever thing we've repeated for the 5,000th time, and they'll be like, oh, so funny. I'm like, what? You wrote like the 1988 Academy Awards and now you're telling this So You Think You Can Dance choreographer he's Phyllis Diller? Fuck you.
I just want you to know that you have to have more fun and be more light. And sometimes you got to throw these like, LOL, you're hilarious to the peeps. You got to give it. You got to give it out. Don't be so mean.
Yes, I'm not saying he should withhold praise altogether. That said, let's zero in on accurate praise. Let's zero in on something close-ish within a mile of the truth.
True, true, true.
All right. Well, Sydney, since you are here and you are a New Yorker, give us the tea on Andrew Cuomo.
We know Cuomo is very problematic. Every time he does something that we're like, we needed that a long time ago, it's because he's got caught out there. Like 11 women accuse Cuomo of making inappropriate comments about the way they dress and kissing and touching them without invitation. Obviously, if you've ever seen a picture of Cuomo, he looks like the type. He looks like the nasty uncle. He was like, okay, well, now everybody has to be vaccinated or show their papers. And so I think Cuomo is so messy, but that's why we keep talking about him.
The funniest thing for me, and it's hard to say you find anything funny in this, but when he was accused of kissing like women inappropriately, I love that his response was, I kiss everybody.
Oh, good.
And then so he released that video of him like doing it to men too, kissing like other politicians like on the face and on the mouth. And I was like, are you a gay man?
are you Richard Dawson on Family Feud?
There was another video where he had to come out and he says, you know, these women said that I did this at, you know, a holiday party. I don't remember doing that, but I probably did. That's when he was, that's when I was like, when he said, that feels about on brand for me. I said, we got to get him out of here. He's got to go. I've had it up to here with Cuomo. The video was funny watching, but then it was just like, sir, who is your publicist? Who's allowing you to say these things on camera?
It's really funny that New York can't seem to have a good governor.
that hilarious thing for them.
Or anyone in power at all, constantly being terrorized. But the Cuomo stuff is even funnier to me because I feel like there was that period a few years ago where I feel like it was mostly white women who were going on a tear being like, Cuomo is so hot. Like the whole Cuomo sexual movement, and now they should be embarrassed, but I don't think they are.
Well, you can think somebody is hot and not have a clue that they're a creep. This happens. You were just talking about being gay.
Well, yes.
This happens all the time.
Fair, but I meant like the whole movement to be like, I'm a Cuomo sexual.
Yeah.
Should be embarrassing for anyone who ever tweeted that.
Oh, well, I mean, if we want to get into just puns on the internet, period, right now, I mean, it's a sad state of affairs. I think mostly run by the heterosexual community, which is why they're bad. That said, you know what? It might be gays too. I'm going to mostly hand it to straights, but I could be wrong.
This is when you were saying it's hard for us to get like a decent governor. I think it's hard to get anybody in power to not do some fucked up shit. Because once you get power, you want to abuse it, period.
Yeah, Shakespeare.
I don't know about power because I ain't got it. So of course I'm like trying to be a law-abiding citizen and do right and be nice to everybody or whatever. But give me a whole bunch of money, a new closet full of clothes, and I can make rules and laws. I don't know. I might be a little shady. It mean.
Okay.
It's like how it's legal to buy a sports car, but if you have a sports car, you're obviously going to break the speed limit kind of thing.
Yes. Yes.
Also, I don't want anyone from New York like coming to drag me because, you know, like California, we also do not have a good governor. We currently have one who sucks, who we are trying to hold on to by the skin of our teeth because we don't want a Republican to take his spot in the recall.
Wait, I have to backtrack, and I just want to let people know that I am not excusing Cuomo for being a creep.
Oh, sure. Oh, please.
But I just think that a lot of people in power are tainted just a bit, but he's one of few that I'm like, man, you just cannot keep it cute at all. It's always out in the open how bad you are. If anybody's in a position of power, like president, mayor, just like really important titles, I don't think we should be talking about if they hot or not. I want stop sexualizing people who have really important jobs. We shouldn't be having that conversation. It's too loose. If we are having that conversation, it should be in a group chat. It shouldn't be on a Twitter thread. I don't want to see it.
By the way, that distinction just needs to be made altogether. Like things that actually belong in a group chat versus, I mean, I feel this way up just about, we talked about like speculating about celebrities' sexuality in a way, like how like among your friends, it's one thing, but if you put it out in the open, you're doing something else. Like you're, that the celebrity will then say, I don't know. It's just, you're right. There are conversations that are appropriate only in certain contexts.
Yeah.
All right. And lastly, in the hot topics, has anybody flown lately? I'd seen people acting a damn fool.
Well, I was with gays fleeing market days on a flight that was supposed to leave at 9:30, left at midnight, got here at 4 a.m. I wrote my jokes for Kimmel at 6 a.m. and I'm here at 8:20 a.m. So I feel like a fucking electrified Chucky doll. And you're lucky I didn't act a fool on this flight.
I feel like that is half of the sort of thing going on. One, airlines are sort of being trashed right now, so I can get why people are mad. But also, you got the unvaccinated people on airplanes being crazy, the people who don't want to wear their masks, and then people abusing flight attendants. And I just think we need some whole sweeping, you know, regulations or something changed. On both sides.
Right.
This is why Rihanna is never going to put out an album. It's because we don't deserve. Last year, we couldn't even fucking travel. We couldn't do shit. It's like now we're out and about and we're allowed to do things. It's just like, get on the fucking plane. Keep your mask on. Keep your shoes on and sit the fuck down and fall asleep. If you need to take a Xanax to get your nerves, and do it. Just act right. Act like you got some home training. It makes me so upset. I get on, I see the people that are like, no, I'm just going to disobey everything. I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want. I'm going to take my socks off. I'm going to put my feet on the side of somebody's armrest. And then, and then on top of that, I'm not going to wear my mask. And then if somebody asks me about it, I'm going to have an attitude and get loud. the fuck is your problem?
By the way, I also just immediately submit to the authority of flight attendants. They always know what they're talking about. I think in these cases also, like, a lobotomy is not a tough medical procedure to me. I think they should be able to administer them. Just fully, like, ask the demented passenger, would you just like a new brain? We can get on the flight and you can have a new brain. And then they can just say yes and, you know, disengage from the old brain and we move right along.
Mm. Is that what happened to Tennessee Williams' sister? That's was on a plane acting unruly.
Yeah.
I would say that it is also an American thing.
Oh, yeah.
This just sort of like any sort of customer service disrespect, because it's not just airplanes. It's like all these reports now about like any sort of restaurant anywhere, just people coming back to them and being mad disrespectful to anyone who works in customer service. And it's sort of like, we didn't have these things for a year and now you're back and you're acting reckless. And a fool.
Well, the thing is that they just let us out and we didn't have no like courses or classes to take before, because we lost all of our sense being cooped up in the house for months on months on months. So it's like, and then we're allowed to be out to our own devices. You know, we don't know what to do. You see that in the club. You see people always drink too much. They don't even know how to do their drugs. So imagine people just being able to go in a restaurant or get on the plane. They're going to act like, yeah, I deserve this. I'm an American. Mm-hmm. I do what the fuck I want. This is my right.
It's wilder on a plane, though, because I feel like the consequences for being unruly on a plane are you can never fly again.
Oh, right.
Or you're kicked off that airline. And so I'm like, that's the last thing I would ever want to do. If I get kicked off Delta, I don't know what I'm going to do. I love Delta One.
Also, if you're doing it on a plane, you're holding back an entire flight. So that's a particularly strong narcissism.
Oh, when they start doing it and we in the air? No, fuck all of that. Fuck all them not being able to get on the plane again. What about the people who are stressed out on the plane? They're like, this plane is going to go down. Like, I'm one of those people that's any little turbulence or shaking, I'm like, oh, this is the plane. We going down. And I don't do group deaths. So I don't need no commotion happening near the emergency exit. And I'm like, oh, the door is going to fly open. We dead. Like, I can't.
When Sydney dies, it will be private and it will be on her Fensta. And only the Fensta community will see it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ira. Thank you so much.
All right. When we're back, we're going to talk about Selena Gomez. Selena Gomez picked a bad fight with the writers of The Good Fight.
I mean, if anything was going to challenge the Ira brain this week, I mean, God, the conflict.
Why is my girl warring with my shell? Come on. Anyway, she called out The Good Fight for a reference to the kidney transplant that she received in 2017 after already calling out Saved by the Bell for initially making a joke about it, which wasn't even dragging her. But in The Good Fight, in an episode that aired on July 15th, which y'all should be watching The Good Fight. If you're listening, please watch The Good Fight. It's one of the best shows on TV. Several characters were having a discussion about comedy, cancel culture, and which subjects are too sensitive to joke about. And someone just says that you shouldn't joke about Selena Gomez kidney transplant. That's literally the line. Meanwhile, Selena goes off tweeting, I'm not sure how writing jokes about organ transplants for television shows has become a thing, but sadly, it has apparently. I hope in the next writer's room, when one of these tasteless jokes are presented, it's called out immediately and doesn't make it on air. Then she followed up the tweet with love to her fans, and then hashtag respect Selena Gomez started trending.
Okay. First of all, so she says it's a thing. It's happened twice. It happened two times. Two times means it's a thing. Three times, it's a trend. Those are the rules in journalism. It's like when Taylor Swift reacted to that one TV show that made a joke about how many boyfriends she had or whatever. It's like, all right, like, you can express discomfort or even offense, but you also have 750 million followers, like an actual gigantic cult, and you have to know that that will then turn into battles your fans fight with the wrong people at the wrong time, you know, scaring the wrong people off the internet.
Babe, that was a reach. She's reaching. I mean, she is. Woo! Selena, we love you. We love you. Go on and have another season of that cooking show. You don't have to worry about these jokes on these shows. You're doing fine, sweetie. You're doing great.
Did she steal your bit, Selena Plus Chef?
I'm not going to talk about it. I'm actually going to be the bigger person and say, I'm happy for her. But that's how jokes work, babe. And it's not like, move on. You're good.
I'm just going to also say that among body parts, kidney is one of the funnier ones, just syllabically.
Yes.
Like, I want to say it to end a joke. So if there's no offense to her, there's just something inherent about the organ itself that's also funny.
Right. No one joked about her waking up in an ice bathtub like it's urban legend or something, you know?
But that has been a running joke, too. So it's like,
yeah.
Come on.
My thing is, this is the second time she's been mad about this, and the second time that it shows that her fans, and I guess her, don't have any sort of comprehension skills or are just really feeling themselves a bit too much, because both time, both jokes were not at her expense.
Right.
Neither time. We talked about this with Saved by the Bell. The joke was not at her expense. The joke was about teenagers who don't know anything without being on their phone constantly. You know, it's like they kept mangling the story and what happened. And then the end joke was like, does Selena Gomez even have kidneys? You know, like they didn't know. And this then was literally saying, oh, don't joke about that. Like referencing the Saved by the Bell thing. And it's, baby, I don't even think she watched it. She didn't watch the episode. Someone just tweeted at her.
Somebody tagged her.
Right.
They tagged her. That's what usually happens is like, it's like playing telephone. Like they're getting like the watered down version of what really happened, and people are too lazy to actually go and do the research. And that's probably what happened.
And now I have to worry that like Christine Baranski is afraid to leave her home or whatever, you know. are these girls sending like anthrax envelopes to the home of Audra McDonald? I don't know.
And it's truly wild for me as a, you know, a selenator, you know, a selenator. I never know how to pronounce that word, but I'm a Selena stan. I enjoy her. I follow her on Instagram. The photos are always bomb.
Her last album, really good.
Yes, yes. Listen, she did her thing. I've always enjoyed the music. I truly think she is also hilarious. It's wild to me that she can't take a joke because I think that she has amazing comedic timing. And it's also wild to me that you could be in a new Steve Martin series on Hulu and be working with Steve Martin, and then turn around and be offended at somebody making a joke about your kidney transplant. It's like, girl, have you seen any of Steve Martin's comedy like throughout his career? Come on.
Right, right, right.
The thing that is really flabbergasting, I'm using this word.
I like it.
For
yeah.
me, thank you. For me, it's just like trying to reconcile, you know, like who people really are with like what they give you. I think the comedic timing is perfect. Like, she's so funny, and she does seem to have, like, a very sophisticated take on material, which you would not expect from a child star, but she does. I think she's very talented when it comes to acting and being funny, but also on the flip side, she don't know what funny is, and she can't take jokes. So, what's good?
The range. I love the range for Selena. She's doing what she can.
Speaking of tagging celebrities and things, it's just making me think of last week when Gossip Girl referenced Jameela Jamil, and they like one of the characters was being canceled, and then someone else said, "It gets worse. Jameela Jamil just defended you," and that was funny to me because someone tagged her and was like, oh, did you see the new Gossip Girl? They referenced you. And she responded like, no, I haven't. I heard the Gossip Girl reboot was really bad. And I'm like, sis. And then next when she had seen the clip, she tweeted like, I'm sorry, Julian, like referencing the character being like, I'm sorry, I defended you, like playing along with the joke. I'm like, but girl, we just saw that you like you don't watch the show. You thought it was bad. So why are you now tweeting about it like you're like part of the joke? Like, don't fake the funk.
She loves the mess. She stays on top of it. She works overtime, and we have to give it for JJ. JJ stays in the building. Her fingers stay typing on the Twitter.
It's impossible to read her on Twitter or Instagram. Not in a side eye. Like, you have to be reading it with your head tilted a little bit. Like, oh God, here it comes again.
He stays ready, okay? I heard it's a terrible season. Work.
It's moments like those that make me then flip and be like, you know what? I feel like I like have to stand.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Just a little, yeah.
Because even like when we were talking about like, you know, Chrissy was like shook about being like represented as the good girl. This, I feel like Jamila like gets to walk that line between like being the like the activist, but also like people constantly dragging her. And she just like, she walks that line.
Let me tell you, she's never not busy. She is. She always got something to do, and I adore her for that.
Right? You know, it's like some people are booked and busy. I think even when Jamila's not booked, she's busy.
That's merch. That's merch.
Unbooked but busy.
Yeah.
Also, in late breaking news, Cuomo said he's resigning.
Well,
hey, we said get him out of there, and this manifest. You got a manifest.
Yeah, how he got this early a cut of our episode, listen to it, and then reconsider. We'll never know.
I mean, we sent him the hot mic feed, emailed it to the office, and he said, wait a second.
Hold up.
Wasting energy on distractions is the last thing that state government should be doing, and I cannot be the cause of that. Given the circumstances, the best way I can help now is to step aside and let government get back to governing.
I'm screaming.
Fine.
This is too much. This has been a delight. This has been, oof. My stomach hurts.
All right, Andy. I love that for him.
Do the low Cuomo motion out of this office. I don't know. I was trying to come up with another pun besides Cuomosexual.
Love that for us.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, maybe he'll start tweeting again now because he won't be busy.
All right.
He wasn't busy before either. It seemed like he was on vacay for a while.
He's going to write another book. Remember how he wrote a book about like everything he did during the pandemic when he didn't really do anything. Now, maybe he's going to write a book about, like, surviving allegations.
Mm-hmm. Oof.
A lot of people could use that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. No, there should be a playbook at this point, so.
Yeah, there probably is one being passed around. You know, like, Louis got it. You know, some people got it. You know, there's, like, there's a secret little handbook, you know, passed around, like, I don't know, like pamphlets in the 15th century. I don't know what books get passed around secretly.
Look at you speculating about what a book is.
Like Playboys in high school.
There you go. Yeah. At the tree stump in the woods behind the school. Yeah.
All right. When we're back, keep it. And we're back with our favorite segment of the episode. As usual, it is Keep It. Sydney, your first time here. It's time for you to say Keep It to something. We're going to let you go first.
I'm so happy about Miss Fenty Savage being a billionaire. We have to keep it. We always go off about eat the rich and people should not have that much money. She deserves it. Robin deserves it. If anybody should be a billionaire, I know that she's going to do the right thing with the money. She's been doing it. Mm. I mean, she's not putting the money back into music, but that's okay. We don't need it. She's got her makeup. She's got her lingerie. She's got skincare. She's doing everything. I heard her clothing isn't doing great. I think that's shut down. But everything else, I love it. Keep it, Robin. Yes, we want her as a billionaire.
An optimistic keep it, reversing the definition of keep it for this.
I know. You did a keep it up.
I will allow it.
You did a keep it up.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm. Oh, remember our optimistic episodes, Ira? What a talk about a flop era. Quoth Jamila Jamil.
We tried to do some nice keep its, and the girls were not happy.
They stormed out of the room.
They were acting like the Selena fit. Hashtag respect keep it is what they were tweeting. And they said, y'all, we don't need y'all being nice.
Yeah.
Well, no, I want them to drag me for being nice because I'm known for being a nice person. So it's okay. I'll take that.
Famously nice.
Just
Sydney.
Like Lin-Manuel Miranda. Drag the nice.
Oh, God. Lewis?
Yes.
Really?
Sydney is the Lin-Manuel of comedy.
You know what? Cut the mic off. Dead ass. What? I have I have to go. Should I do my keep it over then? Should I be a bitch?
No.
I'm actually very thrilled at how I provoked her with just that. Yeah, very thrilled.
When I see you on site, we are fighting going on. I keep your mask on when we fight,
too. Oh, my gosh.
You know what, Lewis? Why don't you say your keep it?
Okay. My keep it is so generic stand-up material. I'm sorry it's this basic, but guys, I have to keep it to, help me God, Guy Fieri's apple pie hot dog, which he is debuting at a Field of Dreams themed baseball game in Dyersville, Iowa, where they filmed the movie Field of Dreams between the Chicago White Sox and the Yankees. So it's an all-American themed food, hot dog and apple pie. Can we not put a fucking dessert on a hot dog? I mean, like, I'm from Chicago anyway. I'm hostile about what goes on a hot dog, period. But, like, Guy Fieri, I mean, just Flavortown is just real life Twin Peaks. Everything is all wrong there. There are no rules. People speak backwards. You meet a strange woman. And I am uncomfortable at the things he does. But he does them with such joy. And no one can ever really be mad at him that we'll constantly be getting these concoctions. He's like if Dr. Frankenstein worked at the Cheesecake Factory. You know, standing by with his, like, fingers outstretched, lightning through his fingers.
You know what? Let's green light that.
Yeah.
Let's green light that. Peacock, what's good?
That'd be pretty cute. Yeah, just coming up with new Thai fusion recipes that also involve birthday cake or whatever. he's like the love child of Chester Cheetah and the Kool-Aid Man. That's what he is, spiritually. Mm. And that he makes food for us. And now we eat it at baseball games. And it's this diabetes heart attack remix for everybody to enjoy.
I mean, that reminds me of, I can also say keep it to Miss Sweetie and McDonald's for their collabo, the Sweetie Meal. And she is almost Flavortown-esque too, right? You know, it's like she makes concoctions online, you know, like disgusting food items, mix and matching them together. And Aida and I were talking about this last week. You know, I just feel like I don't believe most of them. I'm just like, are you doing this for the social media, girl?
Yeah.
Do you really be eating like this? Because if you do, what's really going on?
The real tea is that she's going to get a cooking show before me.
Sweetie plus chef.
Yeah.
The whole plus chef of cinematic universe.
You know what? It's only because Sweetie is hot. If she was not hot, nobody would be co-signing her eating the trash meals that she concocts on a daily basis.
Yeah. Well, the thing about the Sweetie meal is that it's like McDonald's' latest collab where they just basically are giving you a meal that the celebrity enjoys themselves. Like, they had a BTS meal, which was basically just like a 10-piece chicken McNugget with like some Korean sauces. They had a Bad Bunny meal, I believe. And now this is a meal. I ordered it last night to test it out. It is a Big Mac,
okay,
a medium Sprite, and a 4-piece chicken McNugget and fries. And then there's barbecue sauce, and then there is Sweetie and sour sauce, which is very cute.
All right.
But the thing is about her is, like, you're supposed to mix and match, you know? So I tried to, first of all, I didn't get no Sprite because I'm not drinking no damn soda. I got a Coke Zero. Mm-hmm. I got some of the shit off of the Big Mac because I'm like, I'm not a Big Mac person.
Me neither.
My McDonald's meal has always been the 2-cheeseburger meal plain since I was a child, and it is still the only thing I order at McDonald's.
Yuck.
Nothing about me is lettuce from McDonald's. I don't need, like, I don't need greens from McDonald's.
Why are you dragging my meal?
Never mind. I'm not going to say anything. I'm quiet. I'm quiet. This is the end of Keep It. I'm done. I'm clocked out, Sweetie.
But I tried to mix it up. I put fries on the burger and tried to eat it like that. You know, I was like using the barbecue sauce for like the French fries, you know. Was trying to do concoctions like her. And then I was just like, this is fucking with my taste buds.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat this regular.
Fries are their own show. You know my thing. I like them with nothing, with just salt.
Yeah. No, I don't eat McDonald's fries with anything. Mm-hmm. I love them plain.
But whenever I've like mixed and matched stuff, I was like drunk off of 8 vodka crayons coming out of like Club Avenue in the summertime. Like, I'm just don't normally like have to do all of that. I like eat my stuff separate. That's it.
Yeah. I'm not even a person who likes my food mixing on the plate.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Me neither.
When you at the family function, you know, when you at Thanksgiving, famously, I would always be like, when they plop everything onto the plate, I'm like, I don't want my greens mixing with the cranberry sauce.
I don't want it.
I don't want it in my macaroni. Get the fuck away from it. Like, get me separate plates.
Yeah.
Divisions. Yeah. I want like a plate divvied up like a Trivial Pursuit pie.
Separate but equal, but on the plate.
Lastly, my keep it goes to Crocs.
Oh.
Mostly because I think I may finally get some.
Well, they're the Guy Fieri of shoes, so.
I've like a long thought that they looked like garbage, but I don't know. I recently saw like Jeremy O'Harris in some Gucci Crocs, and I was like, I love to hit him with that.
Mm-hmm.
But not even that. I was like, I'm not spending no damn money on no Gucci Crocs. But I was at the Disney store. When I went to Disney for the first time, I did that for my birthday. I saw some like Simba Crocs, like Lion King print. And turns out they don't have them in my size. They only go up to a 10. So also keep it to Disney for not letting me spend my money, which is very shocking because Disney loves money.
Ira, are you going through something? Crocs? You are just too fashion forward to hit us with the, yeah, I think I'm going to get some Crocs. Are you going through a breakup? I'm really disappointed in you. And
I'm not going through a breakup. Quite the opposite. Okay. I don't know what's going on. I'm just happy now.
So no Crocs for you.
I feel blissful and I want my feet to be comfortable.
No, get the Hermes like flats or whatever. Do something like that. They have comfy shoes.
Okay.
The thing is, Crocs have just held on so long in the cultural imagination. I mean, they must go back 15 years now that they've outlasted the jokes about Crocs. So they also have this weird like 2000s trash retro cachet that makes them kind of seem cool.
No, Crocs are also like Uggs, and you won't catch me in either. I'm fine without.
I do finally have a pair of Uggs, but they're not Ugg boots. They're the Ugg
loafers.
The Ugg loafers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Woof.
Well, to each his own. Whatever you guys do, that's your business. It's fine.
Woof. Bringing me back to the dorms at the University of Iowa. I don't know how I feel about that, but
Wear in public, don't tell.
No, there we go. Okay.
That's my legislation. Anyway, Sydney, thank you for being here this week. This no guest week.
I love it. And it felt like home. Is that weird? I mean, besides Lewis being shady boots to me, other than that, felt like home.
That's the homiest part.
That's what we do to each other. You know what? You're going to come back. And then we're going to unfortunately make you a mean person.
Well, once I see Lewis on the street, we're going toe to toe.
Watch me tremble and apologize in under a millisecond.
We're going to have the cameras on. Thanks, guys, for having me. This is lovely. You guys obviously do what you do. And that's why you're one of the best podcasts out here.
Oh, what a queen.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. But people should also go and listen to The Unofficial Expert with you and Marie Foster.
Yeah.
The other most gorgeous woman just in person.
Hilarious, talented, everything.
The reason I had to throw a LA birthday party was like, y'all showed up like and were the hottest people at my New York birthday. And I was like, I'm not doing that again.
We did come sexified.
I was like, y'all not doing that again. So I had to have another one where I was the hottest person there.
I saw some Crocs at New York. So I'm glad that you did another one.
Thank you. All right, we'll see y'all next week. Keep It is a Crooked Media production. Our senior producer is Kendra James. Our producer is Caroline Reston, and our associate producer is Brian Semmel. Our executive producer is me, Ira Madison III. Our editor is Bill Lance, and Kyle Seglin is our sound engineer. Thank you to our digital team, Matt DeGroot, Nar Melkonian, and Milo Kim for production support every week. And hey, stay safe out there.